Welcome to Gulf Coast to Space Coast, Charles Ruttenberg Realty Podcast. Hi, my name is Joanne Roberts, Office Manager for Charles Ruttenberg Realty. I'm here today with Managing Broker Fred Hintenberger. Hi, Fred.
Hi, Joanne.
And our founding father, John Nestor. It's always a pleasure to be in your company, John.
Thank you. Boy, the founding father makes me feel like George Washington.
Not at all.
Well,
no.
It's a pleasure to be here with you both.
Oh, thank you. Charles Ruttenberg Realty Tampa Bay is home to approximately 2,400 real estate associates. Your idea of a low-fee brokerage has revolutionized the industry. I'd like our listeners to get to know you and get an idea of how this all started. It's a story that I've always found fascinating. Let me first start with your history. You have an interesting background, John. Can you tell the listeners what you did before real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my first previous incarnation was up in Buffalo, New York, where I spent my most productive years up there after doing undergraduate work in philosophy. Mm-hmm. I have a philosophy degree, which means I qualify for being a sheep herder or overnight guard. I was in law school. Didn't finish law school. I was going to school full time, attending bar full time. And in my second year, was confronted with a ruptured appendix.
Oh.
And spent a few weeks in the hospital in the middle of the semester. And I wasn't happy studying law. So I just dropped out of law school. I didn't finish there. So that means I blessed the country with one fewer lawyer to worry about.
Thank you.
And then did my career in government. I ended up the de facto chief of staff to the mayor of Buffalo, New York, mm-hmm. and ran political campaigns up there.
Nice.
And that was in 78, I first came down to Clearwater, where a staffer who had worked for me up in Buffalo called me one February morning up in Buffalo, and he said, "How's the weather, boss?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's 10 below," or whatever it was. He said, "Well, I know you're not happy up there. Why don't you move down to Florida?" And that's what brought me down, down to Clearwater. And again, 1978, 79.
And you're with your wife, Joanne.
And then Joanne at that time followed me down. Oh. I had been dating Joanne up in Buffalo. And she followed me down, and that was 43 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's and we were married shortly thereafter, and it worked out very well. And down here, when I came down here, I tried various entrepreneurial adventures that were modest successes and modest failures, and we enjoyed ourselves. Joanne worked. I did some business things. And went through a series of occupations, through merger and acquisition of corporations that we looked at, to originating commercial mortgages, and then finally into real estate. And we'll probably get into that that story later. But that's my background coming down here before Clearwater.
Got a lot under your belt there.
Yeah, you always seem to have impeccable timing, no matter what you do, including the move down here. For the warmth, the climate. Yeah, I don't know if you know who else is moving down here, Kathy Woods with ARK Investment Hedge Fund. So she's moving to St. Pete. But it seems like everything you do, you're ahead of the herd. You got a crystal ball, analytics. What's the magic?
No, I don't. I wish there was a crystal ball. That would have made life a lot smoother for me. But no, I think, you know, you go through life, and as I said, modest successes, modest failures, but you keep swinging the bat, right? If something doesn't work, you get back up there, swing the bat again, and sooner or later, you know, look, the best hitters in Major League Baseball, you know, they fail 7 out of 10 times. You know, you only have to be right three times, and in business, you only have to be right once, and that can make or break you. So I appreciate, you know, it may seem like I've done everything with impeccable timing, but that's because you've seen the one time I was right.
No, it's a pattern. It's like everything John does works out.
Well, so far, again, in this aspect or this time period of my life, it has. It's been wonderful.
So you got in real estate. Well, when did you get your license?
Well, we're doing the acquisition of a small company, just two companies that were merging. Mm-hmm. And it was brought to my attention that to do that kind of business here in Florida, you needed a real estate license or you couldn't get paid a commission.
Yep.
Well, that wasn't the case in New York. We didn't. So I got my real estate license never intending really to do anything with it except to have it because it was a requirement of the law down here.
Yep. And then you actually got into real estate and you specialized, I believe, in HUD homes?
I did, yeah. And that, again, I was between one of my entrepreneurial adventures and was looking for something to do when a friend of mine who had been with me in some prior adventures said, here's what I'm doing. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm selling HUD homes. Oh, wow. I don't know anything about real estate. I don't know anything about HUD homes. How does it work? He said, well, HUD publishes a list every Friday and you can have an open house, hold open houses, and the people show up, they make a bid, and if you're successful, you get 5% commission. Well, that wasn't bad. The average home, by the way, this would have been 97, 98, 99 there. Mm-hmm. The average HUD home was about $50,000, okay? But we made 5% commission, so nice. It wasn't bad back then. And we're doing well. You know, I was making a nice living. Everything was fine. HUD homes, foreclosures, again, were not in the best neighborhoods, and they weren't in the best conditions. But in the middle of summer, I'd pull up with my 1989 Taurus that looked like a cop car. It looked like, which is pretty interesting in these neighborhoods. And I had my lawn chair and a little cooler, and we'd sit on the porch, and we had these ugly mustard yellow and black signs, teepee signs, right, sandwich signs. Then we put about 8 of them around the neighborhood, and 3% down with an arrow, make a bid. And we'd sit there and wait for people to come in and show the property. And it was fun. You know, it was, again, we'd sit in my lawn chair, read a book, and have a cold soda and wait for people to come in. We weren't realtors. We didn't need to be. Or we didn't need MLS. Right. We were just real estate agents. And we certainly didn't comply with the realtor ethics or etiquette that was involved. People would show up and say, well, how big is the lot? I said, from there to there. Or how much are the taxes? Not too much. Don't worry. So that was really like, but we helped a lot of people get into their first home.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And it was pretty wonderful. Yes. So that's where I started in real estate. Who would have thunk it? You know, selling at home. But it worked very well.
Beautiful.
That, of course, eventually did spin off into Ruttenberg.
So here we're now at the conception of the idea of this real estate brokerage. How did this idea come to you?
Well, again, we were happy selling HUD homes until the summer of 1999. Oh. And HUD managed their own homes. They did property management. In 99, they decided to sub that out to Southwest Properties. There was a property management company. And the first thing they come out with, no open houses. Yeah. I said, oh, wait a minute. That's our business, open houses.
Sure.
They said, no more open houses. So I said, well, I've got to reinvent myself somehow. But during this period, and there were about 20 of us who in the three-county area who sat home, and we knew each other. We were friendly. Mm-hmm. And we'd congratulate. I'd say, gee, Amy, nice job. You know, you got a $3,500 commission. Yeah, but, you know, my broker takes half. And then there's a franchise fee. And I heard that a lot. So I said, you know, if I could come up with a plan that let the agents keep as much of their money as possible, I'd take just a little bit. And if I had enough, I could turn it into a viable business.
So, you did the math.
Yeah, I did the math, ran the pro formas, ran the spreadsheets, and said, well, if I can have this number of agents, it can turn into a viable company where we can work. And again, it was part of that story is, of course, I met with Joanne and I met with John Frassica, who is a friend of ours who also started HUD Homes at Village Inn over in Tampa on Dale Mabry. And I said, here, John, here's what I'm proposing. Show him the spreadsheets. I said, well, first of all, your premise here is 300 agents. No one has ever done that. He said, I don't know how you're going to get 300 agents. He said, but if you do, you better have a bulletproof vest because every traditional broker in the country will be coming after you.
And
we laughed.
That was the truth.
And John said, good luck with it. And we went on from then. Mm. But I really didn't have much choice. I had to get something going. So
And back then when you did start, there must have been a lot of negative comments. You got death threats, letters coming in.
Not quite that bad. But it was – it's interesting – There's an old adage that I think is pretty, any unique mm-hmm. new concept, especially if it's game changing. You know, first, it's ridiculed. Everyone ridiculed, mm-hmm. said, he won't be in business 6 months. It can't mm-hmm. work. Then after that, it's viciously attacked. That's the second stage. And they come after me and say, well, he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that for mm-hmm. his agents. Right. And then finally, they say, well, it was obvious that that was the answer. Everyone knows that was the way to start a company. So I did have that. But
so that college degree came in handy because I hear that from a lot of brokers back then mm-hmm. that I talked to. Mm-hmm. They would get in the back room and say, boy, I don't know, that John guy, he's going to mess this up.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I guess they got to know you when you were on the board. You're pretty good. But you had a lot of people saying self-doubts. And with a lot of people, it's your own voice in your head saying, hey, it's not going to happen when you hear this. You seem to have, found your way through. How do you find the conviction to stick on the path?
Well, I knew after running the numbers, I said, well, if I can accomplish that critical mass of mm-hmm. agents, that the numbers then worked and I could make a living this
300,000?
No, 300 was still my key operating number. And we opened up on 300 South Duncan mm-hmm. in Clearwater, mm-hmm. a Class C office building at best.
Wood panels.
Yeah, the acoustic the acoustic tiles were sagging, you know, from rainwater. And the elevator worked sometimes, not always. But, you know, we started off. I said, okay, well, how are we going to do it? And our first marketing plan was I had Diane Hayes was my mm-hmm. part-time assistant, mm-hmm. and we'd handwrite.
She's still with us.
She's still mm-hmm. with us, ain't she? Yeah, wonderful gal. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And she was wonderful back then. And we'd handwrite, try it, at least 50 postcards each day to people who had closings, mm-hmm. Agents who had closings.
Wow.
And it was very much what we still do today in one way. Well, congratulations on your closing. Mm-hmm. If you're with Charles Runberg Realty, here's what your take-home commission would have been. Mm-hmm. Okay? And mm-hmm. we started. And it was slow going, very slow going at first. And I said after a couple months, I think we had maybe 30 agents after 30, maybe it was in the third month. And I said, maybe there's another one of my bright ideas that's going to crash and burn. You know, that the market says, no, thank you. But then we had one day where I had 5 agents join in one day. And I ran home.
How'd that happen?
I don't know.
You got in your bathing suit, side of the road.
No, we weren't doing anything special, but for some reason it happened that one day. So I know I bought a bottle of wine and ran home and gave Joanne a hug. And I said, this is going to work, honey. I said, 5 agents will join in one day. I said, there's got to be another 500 out there. If I can get to them, we'll join.
She was always supportive of you.
She was always very supportive. Yeah, absolutely. And all the silly things I did, and then this one too. But and she was, of course, working. We needed to have her working. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. But we started off very modestly, you know. But then once it's got its traction, it's interesting, you know. Once you get some initial positive feedback, like any endeavor in life, right? Whether it's starting off in real estate, mm-hmm. selling real estate, or any endeavor in life, that positive feedback is what I think that. That spur that you need to say, hang in there, you know,
it keeps
going.
You going.
Good.
Yeah.
Exactly. Starting any business.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got a lot of traction. That's kind of how I found the path here. And mm-hmm. I actually remember seeing the article in St. Pete Times back then. How did that go? Did you have somebody inside the newspaper company?
No, I don't remember it, quite frankly. What did it say?
it said new concept.
Oh, okay.
And I just, I thought that kind of, I had to find out about it in our dear colleague Larry Loper, who's been with us for a long time, he's like, no, this is the real deal. He's here. I met up with you, and I think we had a talk. And I was like, look, once you buy that nice Clearwater Belcher, I know then he's a real deal. He's not going to be fly by night. And you did open up, and you called me up.
Yeah.
Your memory is sharp, and it still is.
Yeah.
So that's when I came aboard. It's just like the validation from other agents even back then.
Absolutely, and that's key. And that, quite frankly, is when I started, I said, you know, the concept was radical. No one did it.
Absolutely.
No one said it would work. And I was an absolute nobody. I had no credibility with anyone except my wife, I think. Maybe you'd have to check with her credibility.
She does.
But I had known Charlie Runberg casually. Oh. And I said, you know, if I can arrange to license Charlie's name, that'll give me some initial credibility that, you know, if Charlie's involved, even if it's a radical concept, there may be something to it. So, I think it did help on the front end.
Because yep.
Nestor Realty did not, they would not have them lined up at the door. No, it would not.
You're able to put the ego at the door.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No egos involved in business. There just isn't. And of course, as you were saying, Fred, you know, the word on the street was, don't bother. He won't be in business. So one of the agents who came,
they were taking bets.
Yeah, they'd say
exactly. 3 months, 1 year.
My agent said, my broker said, don't join. He won't be in business for 6 months. And Gene, his name was Gene, says, good, I'll go there for 6 months and keep my money.
Save some money.
Yeah. That's what my previous broker said before I came here. I was like, I'm going to join John. Yeah. You'll be back in 6 months. Okay, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. I'll come back and you'll take me back in 6 months. Yeah. Well, I'll keep my money for 6 months. So that's how we got started. And that's how we set our fees. And I set our fee again initially, and that was in the year 2000, again, to make it as minimal as I could and still be a viable company. And I'm very proud of the fact that we've never changed our fees.
No, 22
years later. Yeah.
The industry changed it forever.
Yeah.
But it helped me grow from doing $2 million a year to over $25 million because I used that money towards marketing. And without that fee,
exactly,
there'd be no way I could ever get out of that hamster wheel.
I hear you.
So,
this is a great business plan
you put together.
It's a
win-win.
It's a win-win, yeah. Exactly. And that's, you know, when that happens, you know, everyone's happy. You know, we have agents who love the company. We've got a company that loves our agents. You know, they're all wonderful.
I want to ask you, when you set your 300 agent goal. What happened? What were you thinking when you were going to 500, 600, 1,000, 1,200? And that's kind of when I started at about 1,000.
You have to pinch yourself.
Yeah. When all that was happening, I said, I don't know what, but let the good times roll. But I knew we had been a system that was indeed, mm-hmm. you know, accelerating at an accelerating pace. So mm-hmm. it was increasing almost exponentially. And of course, what happens is because the reason is fairly simple. Most of our agents come because of exposure, or new agents joining us come because of exposure to our agents. Mm-hmm. They either see their checks at closing mm-hmm. or our agents love the company and they're chatting to other agents. So the more that critical mass grew, the more referrals we're getting until now, again, we're at 2,400 and some agents.
Yeah.
And, you know, that drives, over 50 agents a month joining us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that weird
it's
or
a
what?
Wonderful
you know,
thing.
600 agents joining us a year.
Yeah.
So I don't have the recipe for what it is, but boy, I'm glad we have it. It's just been wonderful.
You do great. I know I always kid crystal ball and stuff, but you're very brilliant on what you do. Even when it comes to selecting the staff, you always seem to pick the best of the best. And I know, like listening to Buffett, he looks at one of the first things, integrity. Then he looks at intelligence. Then he also looks at implementation. If the guy has or the gal has enough initiative to go, and he said, if they don't have integrity, the other two will kill you. But you always seem, either you know it or you don't, you always had that gift to find out the true talent.
Yeah, but that's very generous of you to say, and thank you. And of course, since I'm sitting next to two people I selected, I would say absolutely. Where I'm a great judge of talent here.
I know you have put our pictures on the wall and throw darts. You had to have a method. What's the method?
You know,
here?
First of all, the points you make about Buffett are excellent. And again, integrity starting off with it. You're right. It's a sine qua non, right? Without which nothing follows, huh? I don't know. I think with me, it's probably more intuitive than anything else to say that, of course, in our company, the match is very simple. You know, the first thing is, as you said, integrity. But the people skills are the most important thing. You know, we're a company that's here to support our mm-hmm. agents. That's number one. And number one, two, and three, quite frankly, mm-hmm. for where we are. And if in your case, Fred, I mean, you bring in that wealth of experience. I mean, you've sold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of properties, so you have that experience. Mm-hmm. Joanne, now, again, with 16 years with us here, has developed skills, you know, in supporting and working with the agents that are incomparable.
Right.
But that's the most – you can teach people almost mm-hmm. anything, but not not the basic people skills, yeah. in my opinion.
Right. No, and that's the intrinsic things you're able to look at the EQ level, which is probably more important in this business than IQ.
I think
you're
right.
You always seem to pull that out.
I think you're right. And, you know, it's a matter of, first impression. You know, what is it? SNAP, I think, is the method. But in the first 30 seconds, you usually can read someone pretty well.
Yeah. No, that's what I tell people on the board when I say, hey, we're going to select a candidate. They also need to have that value where they can communicate with other people.
Uh-huh.
How likable, you know,
Absolutely.
The likability. It's not just about what you know or how smart. They got to have a likability.
No, absolutely. Yeah, the messenger is as important as the message
mm-hmm.
Very often. I think that's an important point. Yeah.
Well, our staff, I have to say, one of the key qualities I value in all of them is their conscientiousness in their work and the pride they take
mm-hmm.
and their detail, their ability to have that detail.
Yeah.
I think it's infectious with all of us.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not competition. We're a team, but it's infectious to do the best.
I think you're right. And of course, because we have such a small staff here,
mm-hmm.
it's critical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
right.
in big corporations or in government, when I was saying, well, you could have someone who is not, you know, maybe not the perfect person for a job, but they had enough people around them, mm-hmm. you know, to support it and overcome that. Not here.
Yeah.
We all have to have our A game,
yeah, well,
right?
We're looking forward to the future and growing. We want to talk to you also about, you know, you've been successful and you and Joanne are giving back to so many charities here in Tampa Bay. And I just really appreciate that you guys do that. Do you have any one favorite charity that touches you the most?
You know, not really. We support a lot of efforts, and of course, it's from Brookwood House to
Kind Mouse.
Exactly, they're wonderful. Kind Mouse is mm-hmm. wonderful. We did that a wonderful event with the teachers this year.
Yes,
That you know, again, to support them with grants for teachers who come mm-hmm. out of their own pocket to pay for classroom supplies,
right.
especially when they needed it the most.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, so. No, they're all special to us, you know,
yeah.
because they all hit, you know, we're talking about abandoned children in case, we're talking about supporting the animals, our mm-hmm. veterans, our teachers. There's yeah. so many wonderful efforts, as first
right.
of all, so many needs out there.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
you know, we thank God that, you know, we're blessed that we're able to give back to the community. I wish we could meet all the demands
mm-hmm.
out there, but unfortunately we can't. So, but we pick... We pick, and another thing we do is everything is we do here local.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is local, and all the money that we give, either corporately or privately, goes to the direct effort. There's no administrative costs.
Right.
There are no, you know, staffs that
right.
we're supporting.
And you vet them out really good, where most, like 99% of it, of the donations go to the people
exactly.
it need to go to. It doesn't have the 200,000 plus CEO that's getting paid.
Exactly, mm-hmm. and private planes to fly
yes.
around, things like that. That sort of turns me off with the big corporate.
Right.
I understand
right.
they're big corporations
right.
and they still do well, but, you know, I guess if there's an analogy, I mean, you know, you can jump in the ocean and make an impact. You can jump in a puddle, though, and really make an impact. And so we like to jump in puddles and say, okay, when we donate to the local causes, it really has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You and Joanna brought to light a lot of these charities and organizations that are in need, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, well,
you
thank
know,
you.
You guys
yeah,
have done
and,
your homework.
And Joanne's efforts are kind of
yes.
stellar, and it is. There's that. There's a synergy that you don't expect. And at the last group where we had all the charitable groups
yes.
together at a luncheon, and we're able to put together, you know, some of the charities with some funding sources. I think it was Raymond James.
Yes.
That, which
millions
opens up
millions.
A whole new source of funding to them
mm-hmm.
that they didn't know about. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And your wife is stellar. She's able to implement things in hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where most people take months, then it goes to the wayside. She
yeah.
just gets right on it.
Yeah, she does.
So
she
you
does
guys
that.
Balance each other out very well.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, yeah, I feel that way as well.
Yeah, you know, you're a good team.
Yeah.
She's
a
really good team.
There's not a lot of overlays. You guys are like the Tampa Bay team.
Well, you know, what the success I've had and we've had certainly wouldn't have been possible without her.
Yeah. It's
pure and simple. And
she's got some ideas and you look at it and you go, is that going to work? And
yeah,
it works.
It does. It's like the next day we're there and it's working and it works better than we could have planned on.
Great. Yeah, it's great fun. And again, we've been together over 40 years and through thick and thin, it's always been fun.
She has a great sixth sense. She gets that feeling, goes with her gut, and always turns out good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems she does. And she's a talented girl. And it doesn't matter if she's, you know, interfacing with you guys on a recruiting strategy or if she's cleaning out the rooms. She goes to it and gets it done. Yeah. So it's great fun, and that's been great.
Any moments that stand out for you and the charities and things that you've done over 20 years with agents? Any one, like a couple things that really stand out?
Well, it's sort of hard to pinpoint specific, but I can
especially
say
when
generally,
you have thousands and thousands. Yeah.
But I can say generally, I know that through the years, the warmest feeling I've ever gotten in the business is from so many agents who said, I couldn't have succeeded without your business model.
Absolutely.
There's no way I could have, especially new agents starting mm-hmm. off, there's no way I could have stayed in this business if I was splitting my commissions with a broker. But here at Charles Ruttenberg, I was able to. Mm-hmm. I was able to build a career. And boy, that's wonderful. I mean, when you have, and there were countless times that would happen. Of course, there were the times also, you know, I had the biggest check that I wrote when I was running the company was $180,000 commission. And I can't remember the gal's name. It was back in 2002 or whatever. Uh-huh. And I took our $250 off of $180,000 check. And she's, you know, my other broker would have taken $90,000. Oh, yeah.
And recently we had a $250,000. Then she was on the gold plan. Yeah, she paid $40.
It's $40.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And I had an agent, so George. I don't remember. George Kaminsky was his name. And he was there when I wrote that check off the $180,000. And he says, well, I'll bet you don't like your business model now. And I said, yeah, I love it. I said, you know, it's changed her life. Mm-hmm. And she's out there recruiting agents for us because we're such a wonderful company. So,
yeah, and I like how you never second guess or doubt anything and you feel good about it. And I find out you're very pragmatic, very logical. I'm just curious, what type of leadership style do you follow? It's kind of like a Gandhi for something else.
I don't know. Boy, again, but you're putting me in high company around with these people. I am my management philosophy is I'm hands off. I go out. I hire people who I think are the very best to do the jobs. We treat them, I think, mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. Beyond better than we deserve.
Oh, well, no, that's not
true. And you
true.
Do give us a lot of good advice. You don't give yourself enough credit.
Well, but after hiring people like you, like Joanne, like Jessica, like Michelle, like Beth, mm-hmm. like Jenny, like Mike, like Terry, I say, now run the company. That's mm-hmm. That's what I hired you to do. And of course, Fred, you and I laugh about that time, you know. And for me and with Joanne, silence is golden.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
If I'm not saying anything, I'm very pleased.
You're like
and
Oz.
Everything's going the way
you're
it should be.
You're the great
be.
Oz.
Yeah. You know? That's what you do. We get together, and it's very warm, and it feels good. So we do that. We have our talks, our meetings, and it's very kind of family-knit, very close.
Yeah, and other than that, it's like Joanne says to me, well, you're like the old man, the Wizard of Oz. You're behind the screen making the thunder
and
lightning.
You're not the old man.
The young man.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah. I wish. Nope.
Well, if they could touch your arms, they would know.
Yeah, but
it's like a 22-year-old.
77 years old. Boy. Yeah. Hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. I remember when you were 50. I was like, holy cow, this guy's huge. I better not cross him on the wrong side.
You look great, John.
Well, thank you. Not quite. Everything so far so good. But, you know, it all goes by in such a blur. You know, I said, holy mackerel, I was just 55. I was 55 when I started the company.
I remember. Oh, yeah. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just went by so fast. You felt like you achieved your life missions and your dreams?
You know, I think life, just, you know, like I say to you and the staff, you know, and my pet phrase, but no, every day we should be getting better. So, no, I don't think it's an achievement. I think it's the journey. You know?
Right.
It's not a destination in life. It's a journey. And no, I've not achieved it. I still enjoy sitting on the dock and throwing a fishing line in the water and go down to the club. And I'm not playing golf now, but I still go down and hit golf balls on the driving range. I like to do that. I like to get in my my car and nice. Spin the tires once in a while. You know?
Right,
I'm the fastest old man on 4th Street.
I can tell you. I think I've been in the car with you. I had to get on what's called the S-handle hopping in there. Yeah,
I drive a McLaren yet, which is great fun. So I enjoy it, and we enjoy those things. So as I said, the mission, it's
mission
the journey.
Not complete, journey halfway.
Yeah, and every day, okay, what can we do today? How can we make life more enjoyable for someone else? Mm-hmm. How can we help someone else today in our community? This community has been very good to us, and we love giving back to it. We enjoy mm-hmm. giving back to it.
We often hear you say to the staff, onward and upward. So it's a great motto to live by. Do you have any advice or words of wisdom for anyone starting out in business or just life in general?
No, nothing terribly specific, except, again, if there's a message, from the modest success we've had, mm-hmm. The company. It's, you keep trying.
Yeah.
And again, maybe the baseball analogy is best. The Hall of Famers, fail 7 out of 10 times. Right. Get up there and keep swinging the bat. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful if you come up with – either you've got to come up with a new idea, okay, or you've got to come up with a better way of doing an old idea. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities, if you're entrepreneurial. And, of course, in our business, everyone is to some degree. Right, it is to some degree. From our top producing agents who make big six-figure incomes to, our part-timers are saying, no, let's just supplement,
right.
And what's a marvelous career. So the one thing I see people doing and I think is detrimental to their psyche and to their spirit, controlling themselves to or comparing themselves to someone else. And I think that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think what we do and what I do, I compare myself to me.
Exactly.
Am I a better person now than I was a week ago or that I was a year ago? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the standard. Mm-hmm. Are we better, than we have been in the past? Not comparing ourselves to, entrepreneurs who are much more successful, brighter, sharper, mm-hmm. So what? Are we becoming better? So onward and upward's pretty good.
Yes.
I think.
It's right. So something to live by for sure. Make a better copy of you every day.
Exactly.
Can't fail on that.
Yeah, and that's true again for us as human beings as well as a company.
You know,
I think we've got the best company in the business.
I do.
Hands down. Believe me, and I've seen enough of them as you have, to contradict me, they'd lose. We're the best. But how do we get better? Mm-hmm. So.
Every day you wake up and you go, I'm going to do better today than I did yesterday.
Yeah, that's just the way to, I think, the way to proceed.
And make someone's life better.
Yeah.
Help someone make their road a little easier.
Yeah.
Let them walk away with a smile.
Of course, you both are here, where the rubber meets the road. You're here mm-hmm. where the action is, where the deals are done, where the people mm-hmm. need help. I can look from a 30,000 feet, elevation and say, okay, here's what I'm seeing going
Mission
on.
Mission control. That's how you stay calm.
And then I can second guess and say, well, here's no, I don't second guess. You know that. But
well, we are all so proud of this company, John.
I second that.
What we do here. Yeah. And I know you say you're behind the scenes or you're like Oz, but we could not have done it without your guidance.
Yeah,
and so I want to thank you. You truly hold a special place in our hearts, and I say that from my heart.
Yes, well, I agree.
Well, that warms my heart, obviously. And, you can do business a lot of different ways, and you can make a buck a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But we could do it, and when you can feel that way about the company and I mm-hmm. can feel that way about you.
You believe us, that gives us enough to believe in ourselves to achieve what, overachievers beyond kind of like the Rays where we should be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
we owe you a lot of thanks.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of you. And it's mutual, of course. We talk about the company being a win-win with our agents. And my relationship with all the staff has also been a win-win. We feel that way. And, of course, when I get feedback from you And of course, Fred, of course, obviously, yeah. that's just a great thing to hear. You know what? You know I love you guys.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, same here. Too. One big happy family. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
I would like to just mention, if you are an agent looking for a home, we'd love a chance to sit and chat with you. You can also check out our website, gocr.com. Click on the tab marked for real estate agents to start your career today. Our contact information is there as well. We have a fully staffed office that is ready to help you. We are a phone call away, and just give us a call. We will be happy to talk with you. I want to thank Integrity Title and Guarantee for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you very much. They're right here in this building. Give them a call as well.
This is a Charles Ruttenberg Realty podcast from Gulf Coast to Space Coast. This podcast is sponsored by Integrity Title and Guarantee Agency, LLC, where integrity is guaranteed.